Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
Hey there, Bills fans. Welcome to another episode of the Mafia Mavens podcast, the best Buffalo Bills podcast from an all-female perspective. The Bills are sitting pretty at 3-0 after another theatrical fourth-quarter comeback against the Cincinnati Bengals at home, and are just one of seven undefeated teams in the NFL. But before my co-host Robin and I talk about all of that, I kind of want to get personal with you guys for a minute and talk about someone very dear to my heart. This past Sunday at New Era Field, the Bills and their fans paid tribute to Ezra Castro, a.k.a. Pancho Villa. As most of you know, this incredible superfan passed away from pancreatic cancer in the spring and left behind not only his legacy, but also huge holes in all of our hearts. I was fortunate enough to be able to meet Pancho last year, and I wanted to share my story with you. So it all starts with my younger brother, Jared. I was almost 10 when he was born. And although we're far apart in age, we're actually really, really close. When he was 5, he was diagnosed with a neurological condition called neurofibromatosis. And my parents had a brain scan done on him, and it revealed that he had an inoperable brain tumor. He was also diagnosed with a host of other issues, including Asperger's, which is on the autism spectrum. And it was just a really, really difficult time for us. And because of the severity and complexity of his issues, the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia, which is where we were taking him, they actually did a case study on him, and they wanted to give him some trial drugs. So at this point, he was undergoing chemo, and he couldn't receive radiation because of his disease, which would actually cause other tumors to pop up. And he was losing weight, he was not eating, and he was just 5 years old. And his prognosis based on the location of the tumor was just so poor. So the doctors didn't think that he would actually live past the age of 15, which was just absolutely devastating news for my family. It was probably one of the hardest points in my life. As for my parents, it was the same thing, I'm sure. So when they suggested that he do a trial, my parents decided that they should give it a shot because they wanted to do everything in their power to extend his life. After months of horrendous chemotherapy, weekly visits 2 hours away to Philly, constant stays at the Ronald McDonald House, the doctors called a meeting with my parents, and they were absolutely shocked because the trial therapy had worked and the brain tumor was stabilized. And that was one of the happiest moments in our lives. So we went from really low to really high, all within the span of a few months of each other. And then the miracle of it all was that he's now 25. He has a great job. He graduated college. And overall, he's pretty healthy. Now, the brain tumor is still there. It will always be there. And we always have to monitor it because there's always a chance that it will grow. But we just feel blessed right now as to where he is at this point in his life, considering that he's lived 10 years past when the doctor said that he would. So I want to fast forward to last year. It was my brother's birthday, and I actually tweeted at the Colts organization, and I explained a little bit about my brother's story. And really, I wanted them to give him a shout out for his birthday. I thought that would be a cool surprise for him. Well, Bills Mafia got a hold of my tweet, and of course, it just absolutely took off from there. And word reached the Colts organization within like an hour or two of me tweeting that out. And they gave him the birthday tweet that he was hoping for, and he was so excited. But it doesn't even stop there, which is the best part, because Jim Irsay actually privately messaged my brother. And not only did he wish him a happy birthday and congratulate him on his upcoming college graduation, he said, "Hey, here's two tickets. Pick a game that you want to go to and see the Colts, and they're all yours." And he also gave us parking passes as well. So, of course, my brother wanted to go to the Bills-Colts game because then I could go with him. And that would just be his first NFL game. It would be an experience for the both of us. It would be amazing. So the icing on the cake for that was that Poncho had seen the tweets saying that we were going to Indianapolis. And he messaged me and he told me that he was also going to the game and he wanted to meet up. So at this point, I'm thrilled because, you know, my brother and him sort of share a similar story. They went through these trials and tribulations, and I thought it would be someone great that my brother could look up to. And I also really wanted to meet, you know, Poncho for myself because he's such an amazing human being. So I was excited. And what happened on game day was the very first thing we did was we headed right on over to the tailgate lot where Poncho and the crew were to meet up with him. So that was the first thing that was on our minds. And I'll never forget it. We walked up to Poncho in his gear and he looked at us, realized who we were, had a big smile on his face. And he says, "Hey, I've been waiting for these guys," real loud. And after that, just hugging ensued and, you know, kind of introducing ourselves a little bit and chit-chatting. And then my brother actually started talking to Poncho just about life. And they talked about, you know, never giving up no matter the circumstances and how even though it's exhausting, you just have to push through. And they each shared stories about having cancer. But most of all, the biggest thing that they talked about is how you can't let it define you. And I just melted when they started saying that because it just reached me on such a personal level. And when we had to leave, my brother actually told me about how blown away he was by this amazing person who had so much fight in him and said that he could feel what a gentle and kind soul he had from even just meeting him for the first time. And he was so inspired by Poncho's words that I'll never forget. My brother told me, he said, "From here on out, I'm going to do whatever it takes to keep pushing through and never let this define me and always feel blessed." And I know although my brother was excited for his first NFL game and seeing his Colts play live, nothing could compare to the lessons that he learned from Poncho Billa that day. And for that, I will always be grateful. So I just wanted to tell my story and thank you so much, Robin, for letting me talk about that for a little bit.
Oh my goodness. I don't even know where to begin. It's an emotional time. Our first home opener, Poncho is celebrated. And this story just amazes me on another level. Some of the audience probably knows my background in another life was as an oncology nurse, and I worked at Roswell Park Cancer Center, for those of you in Buffalo who know the place well. And then I moved on, and my career took me in other places, but what I learned most was how important having hope is, and connecting, and communicating. And there's no way that anyone can understand the journey that someone with cancer, or any kind of chronic illness for that matter, has better than somebody who's walked in those same shoes. And so that kind of connection that you just described is something that I have been blessed with seeing over and over and over again for the last 40 years. And it touches me like it's the first time every time. And this story is so special. And I'm grateful to you for taking the time to share it with us.
Good. I'm so glad that I was able to, you know, share that story with you guys. And I wanted to touch you guys and reach you on a personal level. And the last thing I want to say about it is my brother was actually in Indianapolis this past week for the home opener of the Colts. And it feels like it just came full circle because that's where we met Poncho. And then at New Era Field in Buffalo, they were celebrating his life. So we are still just so connected in so many ways. And it was an incredible emotional weekend for a lot of people, but also my brother and myself. So let's move on a little bit. I'm glad I got to share my story, but let's talk about that emotional aspect of Sunday's game, Robin. I feel like it's something that may be a bit understated by fans and the media. What do you think? Tell me what you thought about the emotional highs and lows of Sunday's game.
Well, we know we have a young team, for one thing, and we celebrated Pancho Villa's life right before the game started. And I think some people mentioned, I didn't get to see a shot of it, but that Harrison Phillips was dressed in Pancho Villa's clothing.
Yes, he was.
And I think that probably just sent the entire atmosphere into overdrive. The emotional aspect of it was significant. It's a home opener. You know, it was a beautiful day. Holy cats. I don't think I ever remember it being that hot at this time of year when I grew up in Western New York, but it was quite warm from what everybody said who was at the game. And that emotion is something that you put out a lot of adrenaline in your body. And there's consequences for that too. And we saw that during the game because, boy, the Bills came out, they just rolled. And they looked like they had taken control of the game. And then all of a sudden, things started to change. And you could almost see not just the team, but even the stadium. Everybody was just kind of like, oh, you know, mm-hmm. You have to catch your breath, right?
That's kind of how I saw it. And, you know, I thought going into this game, the Bills were 2-0. They were already riding that high. They're coming home for the first time at New Era Field, and the stadium was packed because of, you know, the game and Pancho Villa ceremony. And really, they got off to a pretty fast start on offense and defense overall. So I think they were riding that emotional high during the game, and we're all human beings. So what happens, it's almost like when you drink a ton of cups of coffee and you're up and ready to go and you're doing things and you're getting work done and, you know, you're in an overall positive mood. And then when you start to come down from that caffeine high, you get tired and you start to wear down and things kind of sometimes fall apart when you're, you know, that high on caffeine. And that's, to me, what happened during the game. The players just went from being so high to so low within a short period of time that it was like a roller coaster. And I think that's where some of the sloppy plays and mistakes came from.
Absolutely. And I chuckle at the thought of a roller coaster because that's exactly what this team has been through the first three games. You know, it's been a ride, hasn't it? Whew.
It really has. Yeah, absolutely. So I think this week we really need to talk about Josh Allen. He's had some incredible plays that often get overshadowed by the poor decisions and the dumb things that he does. Robin, you've been watching him since his days in Wyoming. Tell us why he does these things. What's making him tick?
Oh, well, this is going to require something called Wyobabble to explain. And for those of you that don't know what Wyobabble is, it started about 20 years ago on the Buffalo Bills message board when I would go off on some kind of a rant one way or the other about something. And of course, my background being a psychotherapist, I was accused of a lot of psychobabble in some of my posts. And of course, my username was Wyo Bills Fan, short Wyo. So it became Wyobabble. And the name stuck. And it happens that there's some Wyobabble I need to explain about what's going on with Josh Allen here. And it has to do with behavior modification. So let's go back to the days of Psych 101. We talk about B.F. Skinner and behavior modification. The short version is, if you reward a behavior, it's likely to be repeated. Now, that seems very simple, but what's interesting about this and what it has to do with Josh Allen is that there is something called intermittent reinforcement, which tends to work better than continuous reinforcement, meaning if you continuously reinforce something, you lose interest. But if you don't get the reinforcement all the time, it tends to be a more powerful reinforcer. So what in the hell does this have to do with Josh Allen? It has everything to do with Josh Allen, because Josh Allen has been reinforced. What's the reinforcer? The reinforcer is that on occasion, when he does these dumb things, they work. So in his brain, it's like candy to a baby. Okay, well, if I just do this, then this will happen. And if it doesn't happen all the time, that's okay, because if it happens once in a while, it's worth taking a shot. And that kind of mentality has been reinforced in Josh Allen since I first started watching him play for the University of Wyoming. That intermittent reinforcement of making a bad decision, for example, going back to pass, dropping the ball, and then deciding to pick it up and throw it for a completion is mind-boggling.
Right. Who does that?
And we saw that.
Who does that? Josh Allen does that.
Oh, Josh Allen does it. And he has done it, and he's done it, and he's done it. And sometimes it blows up in his face, and sometimes, every once in a while, it works. And because of that intermittent reinforcement, that bad decision-making is a very hard situation to break. And I say situation because there's also one other issue here, and that is Josh Allen instinctively wants to be a hero. Instinctively, that is who he is. And that is much harder to break than it is to break a habit. Okay, a habit is something that, you know, you develop a habit, you can undevelop a habit. But your instinct to respond, your temperament, the way that you tend to respond to things, that's very hard to alter. So you put all of this together and you get a guy who wants nothing more in the world than to win, win, win. And he is going to do whatever he thinks he needs to do so. Thankfully, we have our offensive coordinator, Brian Daboll, who shrieked in his ear on the sidelines because he did, you know, he needed to be railed in, you know, at that point. And I think you'll agree that, you know, Daboll's response was kind of appropriate.
I do agree. And as always, we're on the same wavelength with this, because I think that Bills fans have to learn to accept good Josh Allen with bad Josh Allen. I think it goes hand in hand with each other. And from what I see, he does want to play the hero. He wants to be the one to make that play to get us over the edge or get us a touchdown, win the game. And I don't think that's something that we really want the coaches to break out of him, because I don't want him being a tentative passer and, you know, just going for the check down every single time. I want him to have his confidence, and I want that to always be there. So I love that Brian Daboll reamed him out on the sidelines because he needed it. You're right. He needed to be reined in from that bad decision. But at the same time, most of the plays that he makes when he's playing quote unquote hero ball end up positive. They end up being positive. So how can you break that from him? How can you say, we don't want you, we like this play, but we don't like that play, when all in all, they're all hero ball? So you either take that out completely and he becomes a much more conservative passer, or you let him be who he is and learn through his mistakes which passes he can throw and which ones he can't. I don't know if you agree with that or not, but that's just my thoughts on that.
I totally agree with you. And furthermore, let's not try to make him into a quarterback that he's not. He's not Tom Brady, like anybody would say that he is. He's a completely different kind of quarterback. You know, is he Brett Favre-ish? Yeah, maybe some people compare him to Matthew Stafford. I think that he's Josh Allen at this point. We don't even really know who he is or what he's going to be. You know, he's like 14 games into his career, and he's just now, you can just see the lights are starting to go on for him. And well, you know, the lights are going on, Josh, but guess who's coming to get you? Bill Belichick is coming to get you. And so you want to play hero ball. That's risky business. And even Sean McDermott mentioned that in one of his press conferences this week about risk management with Josh Allen, you know, that he needs to understand, you know, the risks and the benefits better than he does at this point in time. And I think Josh Allen would be the first to admit that, you know, at this point.
Yeah, absolutely. And he did. I mean, he admitted, he said, I promise you, I won't do that anymore. I don't really believe him, but I think he's going to do everything he can to limit those kind of plays and the negative, anything negative that ensues after that. So I believe him to an extent. I don't think he's going to purposely do it, but his mind might wander there every now and then. It might happen. So, all right. Let Josh be Josh. He'll learn. He'll get there. He'll become a better passer and a better quarterback. And I think we're already starting to see that through 3 weeks. So the last question, I want to talk about the Bengals game. What's something that you didn't like that the Bills did? What do you think that they could have done better during the game? Because it really wasn't as close as the score indicated, because the Bills, for the most part, had dominated the Bengals, both offensively and defensively, most of the game.
They certainly did. There's some disturbing patterns that I saw in the Bengals game that we've seen now three games, which is not a large sample size, but it's large enough to see some patterns. And the third quarter thing, I'm not sure if it's the prevent defense kind of mentality, or like what you were talking about earlier in terms of, you know, coming out and being in a lull, you know, after being so high in the first half. I don't know, but third quarters tend to be a little spooky this season for, you know, for the Bills. And that's kind of a disturbing pattern. I don't know what you think about that.
I agree. I'm not quite sure if it's a mental thing, or they're just not executing, or if it's everything all at once, or the play calling. I don't know. But one thing I do know is that I don't want Brian Daboll getting cute in the third quarter and in the second half. That is driving me insane. Just do what's working. If running the ball down their throats is working, then play ball. You know, if passes, short intermediate passes over the middle of the field, if that's what's working in the first half, continue to do so until the defense shows you that it won't work anymore. So for me, stop with these little trickery plays. Just play football. I don't know. That's just one thing that is driving me insane through these, you know, especially this past game against the Bengals.
Right. And, you know, the only other thing I can think of that I feel needs to be brought up is this lack of killer instinct. You know, there's kind of this pattern of, okay, we've got a lead. You know, I really like to see more killer instinct on the part of, it could be offensive play calling. I don't know, but I think that the philosophy of being up by two touchdowns and then just kind of kicking it into prevent mode, that doesn't work for me.
No, it doesn't work for me either. They need to do something about that. All right, is there anything else that you think that you didn't like?
Nope, that about sums it up.
All right, so hopefully they're listening to this podcast and they take what we say to heart, because against the Patriots, I mean, we just can't play like that. So
support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Life moves pretty fast. Are you drinking water that can keep up? Smartwater Alkaline has everything you need to stay hydrated, no matter where your day takes you. Whether you're pitching a tent or your next big idea, Smartwater Alkaline can help you perform your best. It delivers a pure, crisp taste that makes it the perfect chaser after a big workout. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com. Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Life moves pretty fast. Are you drinking water that can keep up? Smartwater Alkaline has everything you need to stay hydrated, no matter where your day takes you. Whether you're pitching a tent or your next big idea, Smartwater Alkaline can help you perform your best. It delivers a pure, crisp taste that makes it the perfect chaser after a big workout. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
All right. Before we talk very briefly about the Patriots, because neither one of us really wants to do that, it's time. It's time for the hit list. So every week, Robin and I will talk about the player who had the best hit of the game. And this week's winner is none other than rookie tight end Dawson Knox, who not only recorded his first touchdown reception since high school, but also had plenty of crushing blocks that helped Frank Gore get up the field. His best play, however, was on the final offensive drive for the Bills, when Allen goes deep to Knox, and Knox turns up the field and just plows over guys. He stiff-armed the first guy, and then he lowered his shoulder and bulldozed the second, kind of like he was on the defense. What were you thinking during this play, Robin?
Oh, my God. I was going crazy, for one thing. How long has it been since we've had a tight end that had that kind of moxie?
A long time.
That was a thing of beauty. Kind of reminded me a little of, I think it was mentioned on TV too, of Jeremy Shockey in his early days. Mm-hmm. You know, just kind of brash and swashbuckling kind of guy. You know, it's like, I'm just gonna plow you over. I love him.
I agree. And I mean, we haven't had a relevant tight end since, was it Robert Royal maybe? I mean, that's a long time.
Yeah, that is a long time.
I was just going to say, congratulations to Dawson Knox on being our hit list winner this week.
Yay.
Yay. All right. Unfortunately, it's time to shift our focus a little bit to the Patriots. We don't really have too much to say, but what is there that you want to tell Bills fans about this game on Sunday?
I think the important thing to remember is to keep things in perspective. We talked about this a while ago, you and I, Danielle. Is this game going to define who the Bills are all season? I don't want to put that much credence on it. I think it's important, but is it all defining? I'm not sure I want to go there. You know, this is a team that's just kind of finding its feet. And you're talking about taking on, you know, this is like David and Goliath. Mm-hmm. Okay. And David's going to come along and one of these days, David's going to punch him out. I don't know when it's going to happen. I don't know if it's going to happen on Sunday, but I know it's going to happen at some point in time. And I think Bills fans should remember to be patient. And the big thing for me, bottom line, is just don't get rolled. You know, make it a game.
Yeah, I agree with that. And it's for me, I said this too, that I don't think us losing is any kind of litmus test to where they're at. So if we win, I mean, that's kind of huge. But also remember that the Patriots, yeah, they're 3-0, but all of the teams that they've defeated are winless right now. So we don't really know what kind of team they are either, because they haven't really had any kind of competition. The Bills at home, you know, at New Era Field with their fans are the first real competitors that they've faced. So if they win, that'll be fantastic. If they lose, as long as it's not a blowout and they keep it tight and they work on their mistakes and keep them to a minimum, I think that's all we can really ask for as far as this game is concerned. And that's really all I have to say, because I hate the Patriots and I just don't want to talk about them.
Well, ditto right there.
And really, I mean, the only thing we can say, just win, baby. Just win.
Amen.
All right. So moving on to our final segment of the podcast. We decided that every week we're going to ask Twitter to give us a question. And whoever we thought had the best question or something that we wanted to answer on our podcast, that's the one we're going to choose. So this week, Bills fans, you didn't disappoint. You asked some great questions. But our question comes from Jeremy, and that's at Jeremiah179 on Twitter. And he asks, the female dynamic on the NFL landscape is changing for the better. the decades of "I like their colors" or "my dad husband boyfriend likes them" fandom seems to be dwindling, and women are just as serious fans as their male counterparts. How much of an impact do small market teams play in this? Teams like the Packers and Bills seem to engage all types of fans in their community, no matter age, sex, race, etc. Also, what does it mean to have an owner such as Mrs. Pegula at the forefront of an NFL team? That's a fabulous question. Robin, tell me what you think.
It is a fabulous question. I hope we get more of those types of questions anytime. The second part of the question answers the first, I think, in my opinion. In terms of being influential, Kim Pegula has turned, I think, the whole sports world upside down, professional sports world, because it's, you know, not only is she involved with the Bills, she's involved with the Sabres too. But her view of including fans and embracing fans is something that I don't think that you see in any other organization the way that it's done in Western New York. And credit Kim Pegula for that. And bringing women in, the Bills are in the forefront of doing this. And I think it's just the beginning of what is to come. And to see what Kim Pegula has been able to do to bring a fan base together with an organization the way that she has is remarkable. It gives me hope. And it keeps me interested, to be very honest with you, because I think as a woman, you know, an old woman, all right, I'm old. I've been a fan, you know, since 1960. I was born in 1955. So I've been a fan for the whole ride. And I can tell you, this organization, this Bills organization now, is so different than it was in 1960. Mm-hmm. And in so many ways, it's opening up opportunities for all kinds of people who probably never would have had these kind of chances in the past. And it's people like Kim Pegula who I think are going to continue to lead the way.
Yeah, she sure is. Kim Pegula is everything in a woman that I wanted to be when I was growing up as a kid. She's strong. She's beautiful. She knows business. She just exudes confidence. I love her. And I'll add to your answer by saying I think that the NFL is actually gauging how interested the fans are in having females in the NFL in some capacity. And they're doing that through these smaller market teams like the Bills and the Packers. And because the reception is so warm through these teams, I think we're going to see larger market teams start doing that as well, such as, you know, the Cowboys and the Patriots and teams like that. You're going to see more female interns and female scouts and, you know, even like us, you know, female podcasters. You're going to keep seeing that as time goes by. And I think that the NFL will only be better because of that.
Absolutely. I think that having different mindsets adds so much different dimensions. It's, you know, you and I have talked about this before in terms of analytics. You know, Eric Turner, Cover One, he's a genius. Mm-hmm. We have so many, many people who are such experts at the science, you know, the X's and O's of football. But there's so much more to the game than that.
Yes.
And that's the part, that's the intangible part that I've been nagging and ranting and wild babbling away about for the last 20 years. And now I really feel like we have a coaching staff, we have ownership, and we have a team that all is kind of pulling the same way. And I'm excited.
I'm excited. This is amazing. And I think I really want to thank Jeremy for asking such an amazing question and letting us have the chance to answer it. All right, we're going to wrap up here. But before we go, we do want to give a shout out to all of the incredible podcasts on Buffalo Rumblings. Circling the Wagons, The Nick and Nolan Show, Believe, Rumblings Q&A, Breaking Buffalo Rumblings, and Blitz Bills. All of them do such a great job of keeping you in the know about our favorite team. As always, Thanks for listening, and see you next time, Bills fans.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.